If you would, please turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll begin there momentarily. And for those of you visiting with us, we're so glad to have you come to inquire more of God and to worship our God with us this morning. There are Bibles on the pews in front of you, and if you'd like, you can use that Bible to turn to page 387, 1 Kings chapter 3. As I was thinking about what I might present to you today, it made sense since we've studied the kings over the last couple months and over the month ahead, it made sense to share some lessons from the kings. And about 5 years ago, I was teaching a study way down south in Mississippi on the book of Kings. And there was something that stood out in my mind at that point, my walk with God and my faith, that I had never noticed before. There was a king who the Holy Spirit from the Scriptures describes as tender-hearted towards the Lord. And this king was so tender-hearted, and it meant so much to God, that God said, because you're tender-hearted, and the people of Judah are disobedient, I'm going to bring calamity on those people of Judah. But because of your tender heart, you're going to die before you see it. And I remember thinking, wow, what a great God we serve. He thought enough of that king and that king's heart that he didn't want him to suffer by seeing the disobedience of the people. And so that king was one who had made a covenant with God to serve God with all of his heart, soul, mind and strength. He was very faithful to God. But then something happened that caught my attention. In his old age, he failed to consult the Lord. And it cost him his life. And for the life of me, I couldn't understand why. Through my understanding. So a major lesson we're going to talk about today is not to lean on our own understanding. But when you view that from the Scriptures and lean on God's understanding, then we can better understand why that king failed to consult God. And not just that. There's a second king. And the Bible tells us that that king was loyal to God all of his days. And brethren, what a statement from the Lord. I'd ask you to consider how we want to be remembered in our life on this earth. Whether it comes time for us to meet a physical death or whether Jesus returns first, how do we want to be remembered? Because God remembered this second king that I'm going to talk about as loyal to God. But then something happened. In the old age of this king, he failed to consult the Lord in a couple of things, and it just didn't make sense to me. But King number 2 and King number 3 have that in common. I want to keep you in suspense if you don't know those kings. So that way, you'll stay with me. And then, of course, from 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to start with good old Solomon. And we know, because we've already studied Solomon over the last month, that Solomon fell away from the Lord. And historically, it's believed that he fell away from the Lord for about 20 years. And for the life of me, I can't understand why, considering how he started out. So these three kings that I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to end with a major lesson of how we're going to look at this through the Scriptures instead of our own understanding, which is our theme for this year. But as I started in 1 Kings, as I was thinking about putting together this study, I'd read two or three verses and I was like, wow, what jewels are in the Word of God? There are so many lessons. So not only will you get a major lesson that we'll end with today, but you're going to get a lot of lessons. So hold on to your seats and follow along with me. And I'd encourage you, especially you young ones, to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 3. And I'm going to spend a lot of time in chapter 3. And then we'll go on to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. and just a little bit in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 before we end. And I was very glad to hear our Bible teacher this morning ask a question. This morning when he asked, what can we learn about God? Because, beloved, that's the way I study the Bible. To me, I don't just read the Old Testament to learn historical things about these kings. I read to see what can I learn about our God. And what can I learn to better be a servant of Jesus? And what can I learn to be more pleasing to God? And how can I learn from the successes of the characters we read about and emulate those successes as it is pleasing to God? And do my best to avoid those failures with the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has given us through His Word. So always we read to understand what can we learn about God. And our evangelist has said many times, the reason we have the Word of God is to know God. He doesn't want us to just know about Him. He wants us to know Him. And you can't do that if you don't open the Scriptures and start to understand things about God. You can't do that if you don't ask questions. You can't do that if you don't study. So these are the three kings we're going to talk about. And we're going to consider our theme for this year. A beautiful verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So you see, I can't understand why the kings who consulted God primarily in their lives and then had lapse in judgment, at least for number two and three, didn't end their old age. But when we look at it through the Scriptures, it's a good lesson for us today. So let me give you a little bit of background. As we talk about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 3, the kingdom was united during this time, and we know that the people cried out to God for an earthly king. And He gave them Saul, and Saul was a terrible king, and then He gave them David, and David was a man after God's own heart, but he fell short a lot, as men do, all of us, fall short and sin against God at times. And then after David was his son Solomon. And the kingdom was united during this time, and perhaps it is the highlight of the earthly kingdom. As we begin in 1 Kings chapter 3, because Solomon, as a young man, asked God for wisdom. But after this, it's downhill. This is as good as it's going to get. And after this, it's just downhill, and the kingdom's going to be torn apart. And the kingdom, it's going to be divided because of Solomon's sin and the disobedience of the people. And then you very rarely see kings who serve God. And there were no kings from the northern kingdom of Israel who served God. The Bible tells us there were eight kings of the kingdom of Judah that did right in the eyes of the Lord. But if you look, there's one king, King Amaziah, and the Bible says he did right in the sight of the Lord, but his heart was not loyal to God. Beloved, there are so many jewels in this book. And when you read a verse like that, he did right in the eyes of the Lord, but his heart was not loyal to God. When we come to verses like that, we need to take a pause. And we need to study. And we need to figure out, what's the Holy Spirit telling us here? He did right, but he wasn't loyal. God wants his people to be loyal to him. That's a little bit more than doing right. It's staying with him. It's being obedient. So that's the background, and here we go. Verse 3, start with me. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now that's a problem because of Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 2 through 7. And you can look at that. But here's our first lesson. One verse, one lesson. Already. We need to keep God's commandments. And do our best to not take away or add to them. You know, Solomon could have said, hey, I know the Scripture, and I need to tear these high places down. So, beloved, what's the application to our life? If there's standing sin in our lives, get it out. Let's remove it. Let's don't tolerate it. It's hard enough when we don't tolerate sin to fall into temptation. But if we know we have sin in our lives, we owe it in our service to Jesus and our obedience to God to remove it. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. Wow. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Here's the second lesson. Notice how Solomon is acknowledging the character of God. Beloved, when you read the Word, to come to know God, we've got to know His ways and what He prefers and what He doesn't. And God loves righteousness and He loves justice. He loves mercy. He loves grace. He loves love. And if we're going to be His people, those things have to be important to us too. "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in." Now at this time, Solomon wasn't a little child, but he was young. Some believe he may have been 18 to 20 years old. And I applaud Solomon because he had the wisdom as a young man to say, "I don't understand. I want to do well, God, but I don't know how to lead these people of yours." So that's a good thing for Solomon to have asked. "And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Isn't this a great lesson? Solomon didn't ask for physical blessings or anything for himself. He asked for judgment and discernment to judge God's people. And beloved, I'd ask us to take note. This is man at his best. When we seek after the image of God in which we were made, when we seek to emulate Jesus by focusing on serving others in spiritual things, that's the best we can be before the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with asking for physical blessings. But it gives us some idea of where Solomon is at this stage in his faith. He's asking for spiritual things. We need to be mindful of this in our prayers. Because James 4:3 tells us, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." When you see these televangelists say, "You're going to make a lot of money, I'm praying for you if you'll give money," they don't have a clue what the Scriptures say about God. And if they do, they're misleading people intentionally. But this speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice." What a great thing. Justice and righteousness mean something to God. How do we know that? We know that because Psalm 89:14 tells us that righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Mercy and truth go before His face. "Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honors, so that there shall be none like you among all the kings of your days." So if you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Now here's a little trivial side note. It's believed that Solomon may have lived 60 years. He may have been 20 years old whenever he started this conversation with God. He may have been 40 whenever he fell away because his wives turned his heart after other gods. And if he was, in fact, after 20 years of not falling closer to the Lord and died at 60, is that what we would consider a long life? His daddy, David, died at 70. And the Bible tells us, Moses tells us in Psalm 90 that we may get 70 years, and if by way of strength, 10 more. So, maybe Solomon didn't have a long life, but guess what he failed to do? He didn't keep God's commandments. He didn't keep His judgments. He didn't keep His statutes. So God gave him what God saw was appropriate. All God asked of His people over and over was to keep His commandments, and by doing so, they would have proclaimed their love for Him. And brethren, that's all He asked for us today. That's it. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. John 14:15. In 1 John 2:3, we learn that by this we can be sure that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. You see, we want to know God as His people. We don't just want to know about Him. And these verses give us some insight on how to know Him. And I'll tell you this, something you already know. If we'll keep God's commandments, we will have a lot less agony in our lives, which is caused mostly by sin. If we really evaluate ourselves, a lot of times most of the trouble in our lives comes from when we sin against God. So we need to think before we act. If there's sin in our lives that's standing, it needs to be removed. And before we make decisions, as our dear brother indicated again in our Bible study this morning, we need to consult the Lord. It's not just for kings. It's for all of us as God's people. Think before we act. Consult the Lord in major decisions and in everything we do. Ask Him to open and close doors for us, to show us the way that we should go. And you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all of his servants. Now I want you to notice in verse 28, look in verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Beloved, isn't that a beautiful thing? That Solomon at this point in his life, he did what God wanted and he glorified God in his actions. Because as God's servants, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about doing His will. It's about opening our mouths and using the talents that we have to further the kingdom of Christ, giving God the glory. What else can we learn about Solomon? In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, verse 32, and his songs were 1,005. Verse 34, all men of all nations from all kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And 1 Kings 6, verses 11, tells us the word of the Lord came to Solomon saying, concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes. Uh-oh. We've already discussed that once. You see what's happening here? If you walk in my statutes, if you execute my judgments, and keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. Second time Solomon's been warned. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. The queen of Sheba said in 1 Kings 10:9, she said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because of the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." You see, God was glorified in Solomon's life all the way up to this point. And God blessed Solomon because of it. And Solomon glorified God. And if you've ever been confused about why we were created, Revelation 4:11 tells us, you know, in our study of Ecclesiastes, we often go to Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. That the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments, because He's going to bring everything into judgment, every secret sin. But in 4:11, it tells us that God deserves honor and glory because He created all things, and by His will they were created and have their existence. Solomon had it right to this point. Do we have it right to this point? Do we glorify God in our lives? So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. So here's my point, the major lesson from this, apart from these minor lessons. Solomon had it good. And he's off to a great start with the Lord. Take a look at 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "Ye shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. Solomon did not keep God's commandments, His judgments, and His statutes. And he's headed for a downward spiral. Verse 3, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. I feel sorry for Solomon. But here's the lesson for us today. And I want you teenagers to listen closely. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do not be deceived. What does that mean in our language today? Don't kid yourself. If you hang around bad company, they're going to bring you down. That's not the company we keep as God's people. Now, I'm not telling you to stay away from people who are in sin. How could we do what Jesus told us to do if we don't strive to teach others about the gospel? But there's a difference between trying to teach others and keeping bad company. And I think that's an easy lesson for us to be reminded of. But Solomon, in his wisdom, he missed it. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. You see, if there's a major phrase in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, it probably would be, this king did right in the sight of the Lord. or this king did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's how the kings were judged. And it says here that Solomon's heart was not loyal to God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. What's our major lesson? And that's enough of Solomon today. Let me tell you how this applies to us, brethren. The wisest man who ever lived, apart from Jesus, who was God, obviously. If the wisest man who ever lived could turn away from God in his old age, beloved, we could too. We could. And the devil's after us. He's after God's people. And he's not after those who aren't God's people. Because he's already got them. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and 14 and 1 Kings 9 and 4, God reminded Solomon twice when he appeared to him to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. Let that be a reminder to us. And I don't understand how Solomon could have done this. Not by my understanding. God appeared to this man twice. Once at Gibeon and once after the dedication of the temple. Solomon saw the glory of God fill the temple when the ark was entered into it. So I don't understand this, but I'm going to come back to this question at the end. And we'll look at it through God's Word and we'll see if we can understand it. From God's understanding. So last question on Solomon, and we'll turn to King number 2. Did Solomon repent? It's believed that he's 18 or 20 years old when he asked God for wisdom. And he served God with some tremendous service for about 20 years. And then he may have fallen away for 20 years. And then he comes to the end of his life and I'm standing here asking you if he repented. Some say, well, we think he wrote Ecclesiastes, and then 12, 13, 14, it appears that if he did write it, that he realized the whole meaning of life was to fear God and keep His commandments. So, yes, he repented. And some say, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us in the Kings that he repented. Beloved, whether or not Solomon repented is between Solomon and our God. But here's our lesson. Do we want to come to the end of our lives and have anybody wonder about whether or not we follow God to the end of our days? Is that wise? There's no wisdom in that. Not for the wisest man who ever lived. I feel sorry for Solomon. I'm not here to condemn Solomon. I'm here to share with you some lessons so we can make sure that we don't fall into the same temptations and the same circumstances that Solomon fell into. That's what this is about. So we turn to our second king. His heart was loyal to God. What a beautiful statement. Wouldn't you want God to say that about us before our lives are over on this earth? That our hearts were loyal to Him? If you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. That's our second king. And that's Solomon's great-grandson. And for those who are using the Pew Bibles, that's on page 507. 507. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's talk about Solomon's great-grandson Asa. So here's a little bit of a background. If in fact Solomon fell away from God for the last 20 years of his life, that's 20. Solomon's son, the kingdom was torn away from Solomon and it was split. Became the divided kingdom. And there were 10 tribes up in the northern kingdom, and there were 2 tribes down in south in Judah. And Solomon's son, Rehoboam, reigned in Judah for 17 years. And he was an evil king. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, the scriptures tell us. So 20 plus 17 is 37 years. And then, after Rehoboam, Abijah became king, and he reigned for 3 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So, beloved, by the time we get to this point in Scriptures, Asa had become king. There were 40 years of evil in the sight of the Lord from the kings. That's a lot of life. That's a long time. But the people had gotten away from God because the kings had gotten away from God, and the kings weren't leading them towards God. So 40 years of idol worship. Now let's begin in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1, and follow with me. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places, and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from the cities of Judah. And the kingdom was quiet under him. See how that works? When we keep God's commandments and statutes and judgments, God gave the people peace. Beloved, you want peace in your life? You want a peace which surpasses all understanding? Follow Jesus. Be obedient to Jesus. That doesn't mean that God's people don't have problems. But by the grace of God, we rise above it. And we've got eternity to look forward to. That's a peace. That's a peace. So he did what was good in the sight of God. He removed the altars. There was peace under him. Kings tells us some more details that are not listed in the Chronicles. One verse in 1 Kings chapter 15, 12 that I wanted to pull out to share with you because it's an important lesson for our generation. It says, Asa removed perverted persons, sodomites, homosexuals. He removed homosexuals and prostitutes and religious rituals from the land. Now, beloved, I want you to think about what you just read in that verse. What does that mean? He removed them from the land. It means one of two things. He either had them escorted to the edge of town, and he said, get out of town. Or, it could mean that he had them put to death. And we know, under the old law, homosexuals were to be put to death. And I've heard an evangelist refer to homosexuality for this generation as the devil's new favorite sin. Because you've got a minority of population rising up and dictating the way that government should view them. And this generation should embrace them. Asa didn't tolerate homosexuality. Because God doesn't tolerate homosexuality. And you say, well, what does that mean for me today? Within the confines of what we can't control, do we tolerate homosexuality? Beloved, this is not get along to go along. Now, as much as possible, we are to live at peace with all men. And we do things out of love. But if we keep company with homosexuals, and we say, I don't agree with you, but you can live your life the way you want to. Just don't persecute me because I follow Jesus. We need to check ourselves. We need to examine our lives constantly against the Word of God. This is serious. It's so serious. Asa, put them out of the land. Don't you think I get my heart broken every time I turn in this quarter? With this denominational building out here with a gay pride flag. I cringe. Asa didn't stand for that. Jesus won't stand for that. And as God's people, yes, we do things out of love, but we don't stand for that either. Verse 9. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God, and he said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against the multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And immediately, in verse 12, the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Beloved, do we believe in the power of prayer? Has anybody prayed that the war in Ukraine would stop? Has anybody prayed for the innocent blood that's being shed there? That is an abomination to our God. He doesn't like the shed of innocent blood. David didn't get to build the temple because God said he shed innocent blood. It's an abomination. Proverbs tells us. Those are worthy prayers. It's about more than just medical issues or physical infirmities. And I pray about those too for my family a lot. But we're fighting a spiritual battle. There's a lot of spiritual things that we need to be praying about. God knows our physical needs before we even ask. And man, he really relied on God, didn't he? Are we afraid to be so bold in prayer to ask God to stop a war? Are we afraid to ask big prayers because we're afraid if God doesn't answer them, we don't know what that means? Get in the Word and find out who He is. And you'll get some idea of what He'll answer and what He won't. According to who He is. That's why He wants us to know Him. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa. And he said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. That sounds conditional to me, doesn't it, you? God's saying, if you stay with me, I'll stay with you. If you leave me, I'll leave you. Now, God's grace and mercy is in there sometimes whenever we aren't as close to Him as we should be. But you hear how He warned Asa. So what we need to do is we need to stay as close to God as we possibly can in this frame. Because being complacent for any period of time, that's bad news. You just ask the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. When Jesus said, you're complacent, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You see, being complacent and being lukewarm for any extended period of time is dangerous ground. It's dangerous. And it also is contrary to loving God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. Which is our mission as Christians. We have to strive in our lives to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. That's what we grow towards. That's what we've got to get closer to. That's why we're here as a church to encourage one another to get closer to the Lord and to learn to love God with our all, the first and greatest commandment. And then when we get to the point where we love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, then we got to fight this world to keep it that way. And it's a constant battle. It's hard. The odds are against us in this world, because it belongs to the evil one. And as Peter reminded us, he's walking around as a roaring lion after God's people. So for a long time, in verse 3, Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. But when in their trouble they turned to God of Israel and sought Him, He was found by them. Isn't that beautiful? That God didn't give up on them. For all that they did, He didn't give up on them. He's not going to give up on us either. But when they turned to Him, He was found by them. In verse 7, "But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words, and with the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. And he removed the abominable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers. Isn't that great? I'm glad there were some Israelites from the northern kingdom who had a bad king who said, "Hey, fellas, ladies, did you hear what just happened? The king down south, King Asa, man, he's following God. We need to go south." I was glad to be reminded of this verse, that there was some northern tribe who came south when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. That's a good lesson for us. You never know what kind of influence you may have if you'll stand for the truth. You just never know. And you say, "But I can't do much." Yeah, none of us can do much. But all of us can do something. When I think about that, I think about Jesus in the parable of the talents. "I may only have one talent, but I'm not going to hide it under a rock." Let's use our abilities, our talents for the Lord. And if you don't know what those talents are, let's talk about it. I'll encourage you any way I can. The elders will encourage you any way they can to grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 2. In the 15th year of Asa's reign, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God with their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. Yes. Beloved, would you have the courage to make a covenant like that with our God? Would you? Would you make a covenant to say, "Lord, I'm going to serve you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength, all of my days"? Because we're getting ready to study in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4 or 5 that if you make a vow to God, better repay it. He has no tolerance of fools, the Scriptures tell us. So it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not repay it. But these people made a vow. That's courage. But you know what? That's our first commandment. If you're scared to make a vow, it's our first commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. In verse 13, "Whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns." I wish I could have seen that. "And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with all their soul." Beloved, what does that look like in our lives as God's people in this generation? What does it look like to love God with all of our heart and our soul and our strength? It's tiresome, isn't it? It's work. But we tend to do what we love to do, don't we? We tend to spend our time where we love to spend our time. The question is it with God? Is it with recreational activities? All Judah rejoiced, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. See how that works? See, beautiful lessons. And he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image, and then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. What a good lesson. Beloved, are we going to let our physical family go against God and prohibit us from serving God because we don't want to hurt their feelings? Asa said, Grandma, you're wrong. And you're no longer the queen. Because what you're doing is contrary to God's will. It's contrary to who God is. What courage. But you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:37. He who loves his father, mother, or son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. Amen. What a good king. Will our hearts be loyal to God all of our days? In the 35th year, there was no war until the 35th year. So when 20 years have passed, they've got peace and prosperity, but then something happened. Sometimes it takes me a long time to get to my major point. In 2 Chronicles 16, it says, the king of Israel came to battle King Asa. So Asa sought out the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, to make a treaty with him against Israel. And guess what he failed to do before he did that? He failed to consult the Lord. And our Bible teacher mentioned this morning that, hey, we need to consult the Lord. It's not just for kings. We need to consult the Lord. Verse 7, at that time, Hanani the seer came out to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you've relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show him strong, himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you're going to have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some people during that time. Now in the 39th year, in verse 12, of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Don't know why he didn't seek the Lord. Did good all the way up to that point. Why? Like I said, he had a stubborn streak. And we're going to look at it through the Scriptures. Last king. This king is my second favorite king behind David. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. If you'll turn there. And you may have already known that it's Josiah. And for the sake of time, I'll just give you some highlights here as we wrap up. Josiah began to reign when he was 8 years old. The eighth year, at 16 years old, he began to seek the Lord. You teenagers, Asa was 16 years old when he began reaching to know more about God. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. In the 18th year, he sent men to repair the temple when the book of the law was found. And in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 18, it says, when the king heard the words of the law, see, they found the law, the book of the law in the temple. I don't know if it was buried behind a wall. Don't know why they stumbled upon it. But when they found it, the duty was to bring it to the king and read what it said. And here's how Josiah reacted to that. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. which is a sign of mourning under their culture and customs. He tore his clothes and sent men to inquire of the Lord from Huldah the prophetess. She explained the people would see great calamity. Why? Because they're disobedient to God. So in verses 26 through 28, it says, because Josiah had a tender heart, he would not see what would come upon Jerusalem. Isn't our God a merciful God? He knew Josiah's heart was too tender to handle it, so he spared him. But he was still going to bring discipline and punishment to the people because they were disobedient. In 2 Chronicles 34:31, the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes and his judgments with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And 2 Kings 23:25 said there was none like Josiah. There was none before him. There was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor did any arise after him. Beloved, but then a change. In 2 Chronicles 35:20, says, after this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent messengers to him, saying, what have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but against the house with which I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. I had to scratch my head when I read that 5 years ago. I thought, wait a minute. You mean to tell me Josiah goes up against King Necho of Egypt? And Necho says, I don't have anything to do with you, King of Judah. Stay out of this war. But God has told me to go up in this battle. Well, you can understand that if you know that God is sovereign. Proverbs tells us God raises up kings and He puts down kings. And His will is going to be done. So he was using Pharaoh Necho of Egypt to do his will. And then his servant Josiah comes into this battle and says, I'm going to fight you. And Egypt's like, get out of here. But nevertheless, he said, refrain from meddling with God who is with me, lest He destroy you. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but he disguised himself so that he might fight with him. And he did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. So he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am severely wounded. Why did he do that? His servants therefore took him out of the chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem. So he died and was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Now, my understanding, I can't make any sense out of why Josiah didn't consult the Lord. When Necho said, your God is with me, get out of this. And it cost him his life. And the Holy Spirit just told us there was no kings like him before or after who served God with all of his heart, soul, and strength. How do we understand that? Beloved, we need to lean on God and not our own understanding. None of us is immune to falling away from the Lord. Complacency can make you drift away from God. Just look at Malachi and the Laodiceans. Trials from the world can make you drift away if your faith is not being built on a solid foundation and made stronger. We've got to grow in our faith or we chance becoming complacent. And the devil can pull us away. Who could withstand what Job suffered? So I didn't come today to criticize these men who've been dead for thousands of years. I just came to share some lessons to say these were faithful kings. Some had lapses of judgment for a minute. Solomon for years. And we need to learn from these things. We need to learn. So how do we understand it? Here's my whole major lesson. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see, if Solomon struggled with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you young people make note of this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2:10, Solomon if he wrote it, said, whatever his eyes desired, he didn't keep from them. He didn't withhold anything from his heart for pleasure. And that was the joy of his labor. And then by the end of the book, he said, I messed it up. So as you go out and you make your life in this world, you remember to take God with you and to consult the Lord. Because if you go away from Him, if you don't keep His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, you're going to have some hard, hard days that are unnecessary. Asa struggled with the pride of life. He came to rely on himself and others instead of God. Josiah struggled with the pride of life. He relied on himself, didn't consult God, and it cost him his life. Now thank God for His grace, for His mercy. So what can we learn from this in conclusion? And we've got to stay close to God every day. We've got to do our best. Take up our cross daily. Jesus said, deny ourselves and stay close to Him. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's given to us for a reason. As I close, this is the invitation to come to Jesus. And in the words of the most important king that we could ever study, our king, Jesus. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And He said, wherever He is, there we may be also. And beloved, He's coming again. He's coming again in the clouds with His mighty angels. He's coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, or those who do not know God. John tells us in Revelation that He's coming with cloud, and every eye shall see Him, even those who pierced Him, and the tribes of all nations shall wail against Him. Even so, amen. Beloved, here's what we can take away from this. I thank you so much for your patience. I thank you for listening attentively. I thank you as I heard the scriptures being flipped in your Bibles. If we're God's people, if we're here, and we haven't come to the point where we love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, that's what we strive to be. That's what we want to be individually as Christians, and that's what we want to be as members of this local church. The elders will help you in that endeavor any way they can. But do our best to endeavor to come to the point where we do love God with our all, and that we keep that first commandment. That's what we strive to do. And if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, let me tell you something. There's no more important decision that you'll ever make on this life, in this life on this earth. And if you haven't obeyed, you've got a void in your heart. I may not have met you, but I know you're missing something. And let me tell you something, that void can only be filled with Jesus. If there's anything I've said today that you'd like to inquire more about, if there's anything I've said today that you don't understand from the Scriptures, or maybe you have other Scriptures that see differently, you would be my friend if you would come and talk with me about it. The elders would love for you to come and spend time with them and talk about how they can assist, whether it's growing to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, or whether or not it's being baptized into Christ. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation. Would you please come as together we stand and we sing.